Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food and how do dollar stores make money? And then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Lattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
This is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
Today we're taking you on a journey. We're running with parasites.
Yep, running barefoot. Actually, which I really wasn't that aware that this was a thing until you blogged about it. Like, people are really into doing like marathon running with no shoes or socks on, right?
It is a thing. It is a big thing. But first, are you a kind of a believer in going barefoot in the summertime?
No, because my family spent a couple of years up in Newfoundland, Canada, but
okay.
Most of my time has been spent in the South. So we were very, I mean, it was really hammered into us that you don't go walking around outside barefoot. Things will crawl into you, or you'll step on something gross or sharp, or for any number of reasons, keep the shoes on when you're outside.
That's funny, because I don't remember having any of that sort of public health message drilled into my head when I was a kid. I mean, a sign of summer for me was taking off my shoes, running around, whether it was...
Wait, where'd you grow up?
In Connecticut.
Oh, where there are no sharp things outside. There's
I guess
no dog
not.
Poo. It's just pristine and wonderful.
I guess so. I guess Connecticut has none of those things. I don't know. It's just I never really thought about it. You know, I would go on like hot pavement. I would go to the pool. I would probably go in disgusting places that I should not have gone barefoot.
Well, I do take my shoes off at the beach. Now that's different. That may not be safe either.
So you don't peel your socks off at the shore's edge?
No.
Well, a lot of people are going barefoot now, and they're going barefoot running in particular. I actually tried it one night because I was so curious. I am a bit of an amateur runner, and I was curious because they say that it can improve your form when you're out there. If you lose the shoes, you can improve your running efficiency.
And this is based in the idea that we evolved with these feet. And if these feet can't cut it, I mean, you know, if God had meant us to wear Nikes, we've been born with them, right?
Absolutely. Kind of absolutely. Yeah. So there's this whole athletic-oriented subculture out there that's going barefoot, and mostly it's runners. But it's by no means a new thing. I mean, in 1960, there was a Olympic gold medal winner shuffling along without shoes in Rome. And before sneakers were invented, which was in the early 19th century, which, incidentally, was married to the vulcanization of rubber in Charles Goodyear. It's a whole separate story, but pretty interesting. before sneakers were invented, you have to think that people weren't necessarily always running in shoes. And then you have guys like Pheidippides, right? The poor slob who had to, you know, run the first marathon. He was messenger for,
Was that barefoot?
I don't know. I did a little searching on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you had like naked wrestling and all that. I mean, the old Olympics were pretty, you know, don't let clothing get in the way of a good sporting event.
Right. So we're kind of getting back to our roots, with people running barefoot. I mean, there's a whole culture around it. There are barefoot races, there are barefoot forums online, and for some barefoot runners, there are, of course, parasites. And the big one is hookworm.
Yes, hookworms, which are pretty, like a lot of parasites, pretty amazing, creatures. Basically, the life cycle here is, you step on a hookworm larva, and it crawls up through the sole of your foot, makes its way up into your digestive system, where it breeds and reproduces, and then, comes back out through the form of excrement, and then crawls away from the excrement to be stepped on again. So it's this, this cycle. So, I guess the main thing is you would hope that, that these, barefoot running marathons would not be going through, latrine zones or, dog parks or, anything of that nature.
How prevalent is hookworm in the U.S.?
Well, much better than it was. I understand you can certainly still get it. But, it's interesting. Around, 1908, John D. Rockefeller Sr. was looking for his next big project, right? And he really wanted to help out the American South.
Okay.
Where, incidentally, we're podcasting from right now. He was kind of perturbed by the fact that the economic engine of the South was not really getting going again. And so he formed a commission and sent people down to like crunch the numbers and stuff and, you know, see what was wrong, you know, what do we need to do to kickstart it. And they're
taking a lot of sick days from hookworm infections.
Well, they just found that a lot of Southerners were slow, pale, weak, kind of Gollum-y, you know, and, you know, so they came back and they said, well, there's, you know, nothing wrong with this, that, or the other, but they seem like they might have some sort of a lazy disease. So then Rockefeller,
a lazy disease.
Yeah. So Rockefeller sends down a bunch of doctors and, they start, looking at some of the factors and they start seeing that a lot of it is tied to the soil types, like, areas where there's like rich soil, rich farmers, then you have a lot of these pale, gollumy, Southerners, and then the poor farmers tend to be a little better off. So it turned out that the big deal was hookworms. This ended up leading to basically the invention of the outhouse because they conducted some experiments, right, to just see like how far the hookworms travel from said excrement. So they put the poo, if you will, in a sandbox.
Okay.
One of the few times when poo in a sandbox, I guess, was okay, yeah. And then they measured to see how far the larva traveled each day. All right, 3 days.
They had hookworm races.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And they found that in 3 days it could travel 3 feet, and then it couldn't go any farther. It was, and then it would live for 7 days total, and then it would die. All right. So the problem was that you had these poor anemic Southerners going out there, and they would, you know, they would be using the restroom in the same general area. And then, you know, every day they're getting more hookworms because the hookworms are, you know, moving 3 feet out in every direction from where they're going. Right. So the answer is you dig a hole that's 6 feet deep. All right. So the hookworm can only go up 4 feet. And then maybe if it's like just a superhero of a hookworm, it could, you know, I don't know, maybe it would go 5 feet, but there's no way it's getting six, right?
Right.
Not without just divine intervention.
It would be a hookworm in the Guinness World Book of Records,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it would have to be some sort of super hookworm. So suddenly John D. Rockefeller's people started saying, hey, how about this? Let's dig a hole for everybody to poop in and we'll put a little house over it. And, bam, the outhouse is born.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
They even had this cool little film, which you can actually watch online. The Rockefeller people still have it up. And it's called Unhooking the Hookworm, in which it refers to this parasite as, quote, one of man's most dangerous enemies.
Well, it sounds like it certainly was for a while. But, I mean, hookworm is not the only thing that you could encounter while you're running barefoot. There's a whole host of nasty infections out there that are just waiting for your poor, unsuspecting, but faster feet. Well, I mean, let's start with the basic one. There's also athlete's foot.
That's a rough one, yeah.
Tinea pedis. Yeah, and then there's also stuff like you could get a staph infection, of course, and nobody wants a staph infection. Or fungal mycetoma. And this one, I just dare you to look at some pictures of this on the web. It is... Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. It tends to occur more in tropical climates, such as Mexico. And then
What do the photos look like?
It's just gnarly.
Like, what color? Is it more of like a red or a green?
Well, actually, the foot that I saw was kind of a brownish color that was starting to sort of fold in on its... Oh, it was really terrible. And then you have stuff like sporotrichosis, and this is... an infection that comes from handling thorny plants, sphagnum moss, or stuff like baled hay. And granted, we're not going to be handling this stuff on a daily basis. Maybe it's not something you might encounter on a roadway, but if you're doing a little trail running or stuff like that, you could technically encounter something, an infection like this.
Do they run trails barefoot as well?
I'm not sure. I think actually the bare road is your friend when it comes to barefoot
running. Because
otherwise,
it sounds like these guys would just be running around on like just big gross stumps, you know, with things crawling in and out of them.
So if you're still looking to run barefoot or somewhat barefoot, we came up with a couple solutions for you.
Yeah, one, and these are pretty cool. I do not own a pair, but I have a friend who has some. They're the Vibram Five Fingers.
Yes,
and this
I've
is
seen
like
these.
Like a foot glove, basically. Like they tend to be like the ones I saw and the ones that my friend has are black, so they kind of look like gorilla feet that you put on,
gorilla
feet. And you know, and he can wiggle his toes in them and all, and yeah, you just run with those. They, you know, you wouldn't want to wear them like on a date, but they're pretty cool for the whole barefoot running thing. And the manufacturers
kind of
they can be kind of pricey.
I think it's comparable to a running shoe. I think they price out at about $80 or something. Yeah, so that's one solution. Although, what's the difference between a Vibram five-finger doohickey and just running with socks?
You don't run outside in your sock feet. Did your folks weren't into that either? I mean, that was one of our rules. You walk outside in your sock feet, you're going to get wet.
But what if you run outside in socks with those little, you know, the skitter things on the bottom? You know, like they make kids' socks with those little...
Still, you're going to step in a puddle or something, and it's going to be gross. But these... I think the Vibram Five Fingers are gonna like they have some grip to them, but they're rubbery. You know, they're not gonna soak up a bunch of gunk.
Okay, all right. So then you could always also run indoors, right?
Yeah, and that would cut out some things, but I don't know. It's like we're talking about. You know, there's a lot of athlete's foot in gyms. So
right. So infections don't really respect the indoor outdoor boundaries that we make for them. Well, of course, your last option is you could just take your chances and run outside.
Yeah.
Shoes be damned.
And, you know, as far as the hookworms are concerned, as they go into on an episode of Radiolab, some people think these aren't that bad. This is based on the idea that or the observation that asthma is 50% less likely in someone that has hookworms and that asthma and allergies aren't as common in the developing world. Because in many places you still have, a lot of these sanitation issues. And the argument is that hookworms and humans have co-evolved over thousands of years and to the point where you'll have an individual that would be susceptible to asthma or allergies or any number of conditions that are basically the immune system turning on itself, right?
Okay.
And in these people, the hookworm it manages to keep those things in check. Almost like a symbiotic kind of relationship. Because there are arguments that, like, if you have, like, 10 hookworms, more or less, like, that's, like, a good...
The advocates are saying
that's a good number of hookworms to sort of keep your body in check, but you're not... you get, like, 50, and you're getting into... You're going to become anemic, and that's where we get the slow, pale...
You're going to become a slow southerner.
Yeah. We should stress that's not an approved... treatment. But the one guy that they actually interviewed on Radio Lab, this guy, Jasper Lawrence of Deranged.com, he actually traveled down to, I believe it was Cameroon.
And got himself some hookworms.
Yep, got himself some hookworms. So took a taxi out to some latrine areas and marched around in his bare feet.
Good for Jasper. Yeah.
And last I heard, he was still selling his own hookworms from his own feces online to people who were interested in this, non-approved treatment.
Thank you, Jasper, for making that service available. So I'm pretty sure I'm not going to go out and buy some hookworms, but this whole podcast did make me think about shoes and their role in culture. Are you guys a shoes-off household?
Increasingly so, especially, of course, when there's snow and slush outside. But I think after our we traveled to Thailand in the fall, and they're very much a shoes-off culture and are, you know, very big on also like things like don't point with your shoes, etc. You go, you fly on Thai Airlines and you have to put your shoes in a separate box than your like pocket things, because to combine them into one box would just be grotesque, you know. And really, these are our shoes. These are the things we walk around all over, you know, the subway with, or we kill bugs with, or, you know, etc. They're kind of nasty, and you know, maybe we should take them off at the front door more often, or even in the office. I mean, I'm wearing shoes right now, but
we should have a bin as soon as you walk in the office where you check your shoes and people just walk around in stocking feet all day.
Yeah, everybody has their own slot.
Although, what could happen, as happened in Sex and the City, is you could lose a sweet pair of shoes. On the other hand, think about it. If you're not caring about your shoes, then think about, you know, your shoe budget goes down. You're spending less money. Who cares? You're just going to be cruising around in flip-flops all the time. So
it does make me curious if, expensive shoes are a thing in Thailand as well. I'll have to look into that. Or if you know, please contact us.
So if you'd like to learn more about marathons or green marathons or even skin parasites, you can head to our homepage at howstuffworks.com.
And while you're there, check out our blogs, where we talk about all sorts of stuff from, breaking science news to whatever articles we happen to be researching for the week.
And if you want to tell us about your adventures with parasites or running or both, send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food, and how do dollar stores make money, and then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, millions tuned into the Betrayal podcast to hear a shocking story of deception. I'm Andrea Gunning, and now we're sharing an all-new story of betrayal. Justin Rutherford. Doctor, father, family man. It was the perfect cover to hide behind.
Detective Weaver said, "I'm sure you know why we're here." I was like, "What in the world is going on?"
Listen to Betrayal on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.